You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan, 4 o'clock here on this Friday, the day after the MLB trade deadline. The New York Yankees very active, the New York Mets very active, and now they go play baseball. Now the hard part. The Yankees are down in Miami taking on the Marlins. Carlos Rodon against Jansen Junk. You know what I always think about when I think of Jansen Junk?
What's that?
I think it was spring training because I was in the weeds. There was a line drive that went off of Jansen Junk, and Steve Gelbs was filling in for Gary Cohen at the time. You really would have to go into the archives, Luke, to find this audio because it was back in March. And I'm not telling you should, but if you find it, great. And Kelb screamed, "It's off of junk." Or I think he even said off of his junk. And I was like, what? And so that was really what put me on the Jansen Junk radar.
Did it actually hit him in his,
it was
around
close.
His junk?
I think it was close. I think it was close. And it was just one of those things where naturally you're going to say the ball is hit off of the pitcher.
Of course.
Like it happens. And his name happens to be Jansen Junk. But I tell you something, you have it? This is impressive. This is why Tommy needs a raise, architect. Here is the call from spring training.
Pete Alonso behind 1-2 with two outs. Mets still looking for their first hit of the night. That one off the pitcher Junk. Gathers and makes the underhand flip.
He knew right away.
All right, it's because of how he said and paused that pitcher. Like
yeah.
There was an S at the end, even though I didn't put an S at the end. It's off the pitcher, Junk.
Junk.
Instead of pitcher's junk.
That's right. Can you take us up behind the scenes, Tommy? How'd you find that so quickly? Because that was back in like March, if I memory serves correct.
So when you said March, I just went back. When you save things in the system, it saves it by the date you save it. So I just scrolled down to March, and luckily it was like March 4th.
Ah.
So it didn't take very long.
Right. And it's junk.
It's junk.
It's easy to spot.
Right.
So who knew when we were having fun with that back in March that Jansen Junk would be facing the Yankees? And here's what's crazy. The Marlins have been good. Like, this is not a walkover series. In fact, if you go back to the middle of June, the Marlins have the second best record in baseball. Mm-hmm. In baseball.
Yeah. Interesting. I do think tonight poses the rare I'm putting my chips down show bet tonight. Jazz Chisholm Jr. homers returning home to Miami.
Oh, the return game.
Right.
The return game.
He didn't play.
They only play in Miami once every 2 years, and obviously he was traded in the middle of last season. So this is the Jazz return game. I like
nice.
That.
Homer tonight.
Tonight
or just in the series?
I think he's homering tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's having a big series. Like, I think Jazz has a lot of, you know, I'm going to let it out on the Miami Marlins. But this is a tricky series because the Marlins have played good baseball. Like, I think we look at their overall record, and they're the Marlins, and you look at their roster, and you say, yeah, they're not that good. But really, since the middle of June, they've been better than the Mets or the Yankees.
Right, they're hanging around 500.
I know. It's kind of scary.
Right, despite a poor start.
I know. So it's Yankees-Marlins tonight. Carlos Rodon on the mound, and then the Mets are opening up a homestand against the San Francisco Giants, a team that they just dealt with. So it's Robbie Ray against David Peterson tonight. The Met lineup did come out. No Cedric Mullins. And I'd be curious to know if he's there and available because even though the Giants are starting a left-hander, Cedric Mullins has hit lefties. So I would see no reason why he wouldn't be in the lineup tonight. So keep an eye on if Cedric Mullins is available. As soon as you hear word on that, let us know. But Mets-Giants tonight over at Citi. And the Yankees are down in Miami against the Marlins. We will talk to Brian Cashman coming up in the next couple of minutes. Let's get to some of your calls before we talk to Brian. How about we talk to Brian's archest rival? Before we talk to him himself, John and Maspeth, president of the Friar Brian Cashman Club. John, how do you feel about your boy right now?
You know what? That's why I'm calling. I heard you guys have Cashman coming on the show. Not sure if he's listening right now, but if he is, as the president of the Friar Cashman Coalition, I must say, he gets an A for what he did this trade deadline. Mm. I'm happy. Fire cat, but still, it's always Fire Cashman because of what happened for the last 20 years. One World Series since you know when we're having the highest payroll. But this year he gets an A for what he did for pretty much fleecing teams left and right, unlike the Mets.
No, don't unlike the Mets. You don't have to bring the Mets up. I respect that, John, because I think what's difficult sometimes, I talk about the blindness we have in politics and sometimes the blindness in sports, is that we can't give credit where credit is due when it's deserved because of the opinions we already have. And so for you to say that, I think is admirable. You think Brian is aware of John and Maspeth? Probably not.
I mean, I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got bigger things
he's
to
not,
fry.
He's not on social media. You said he's not on social media.
I assume
he's
not
going to see most of those things. He's not hearing it in real time. So he's likely not seeing it after the fact.
Yeah, we'll find out. Joining us right now, the general manager of the New York Yankees, who's getting rave reviews for what happened over the last few days, and that is Brian Cashman. Brian, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes. Tiki, Evan, how are you today, man?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing? I'm a little tired, but I think as we all are. You guys tired covering, and we tired doing.
Here's the key question, because you're the one that could answer this. I've asked everybody. I've asked Yankee fans. I've given my opinion on it. Did you, Brian Cashman, go to town at the trade deadline?
I mean, we try to go to town every year. So, like, the town thing, I think, from what I was getting feedback after, like, hey, that's getting blown up. And I was like, well, going to town meant like, hey, if you need something, you're, like, the analogy was like, you're at home and you got to go do some shopping, so you're going to go to town. So you got some things to pick up, so you're going to go to town. But it sounded like it played out like a promise that I'm going to go crazy or something, but I promise you this, we always try to do as much as we can, and you know, whether it's in the winter or the deadline in the summer and stuff, and just some you know, cycles you get a better shot at it than others, but we're always trying to go do a lot of stuff that can impact us. So hopefully we ran into some things this time around that'll benefit us. We'll see.
And you know, so it's interesting, Brian, because you did get a lot of really good players, and we'll get to them in a second, but I wonder, did you miss out on anybody that you thought you wanted to go after and just couldn't? And starting pitching is something we talked about a lot yesterday. A lot of people have. It just wasn't a ton of them moved. Did you miss out on anything?
I mean, there's guys that we coveted without a doubt that, you know, we felt like would be very beneficial to us as well as others. And yeah, you know, we were able to just, this is what we were able to secure. The, you know, everything we've got to talk about on the new player additions are what we have to show for those efforts. But there's a lot of things we couldn't match up on, a lot of things that weren't, you know, just wasn't available, you know. But, you know, we certainly had a lot of conversations throughout, you know, all of our counterparts in the National League and the American League, and whether they're contenders or sell, you know, buyers, sellers, it didn't matter. And just we tried to play every which way and make sure that, you know, every opportunity was, you know, pursued. And again, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, this is what we got to show for it.
When you went after relievers, was there kind of a premium in your mind on bringing in guys who you have control over past this season?
No, I mean, ultimately we were trying to improve on what we had. You know, I thought we had something that was really good, but you know, like the domino effect of injuries, and next you know, in the tight ball games we were playing, you know, the guys we had guys sitting on the IL like Cruz and Leiter, and the other guys were getting obviously used by necessity, you know, a little bit too much, and because of these tight ball games and how things are shaking out, and we just needed to address and improve and bring in some new blood to blend with it, and so you know, that was just an old overall goal. Obviously it's beneficial if you have control, but the whole effort was just to try to secure anything and everything that could, you know, that is better than what we in theory on paper already had.
Yeah, it seemed like though it was a trend across Major League Baseball, a lot of GMs going with the reliever category, and I wonder if a lot of that is because starting pitching is no longer getting 7-8 innings. Like you're constantly in your bullpen, even when you have good starting pitch.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So does that factor in to the massive reliever market that we saw this year?
I don't know. I do know that it's, you know, it's hard to get your hands on starters. Even I remember the one year that I had to go, you know, unfortunately, and go through the selling side of it. You know, the even as a seller, you've got to make sure you maintain and your innings and how you're going to manage your remaining innings going forward. So even though if you're on the seller side of it, so I remember I moved Nova to the Pirates back in the day, you know, as a final deadline before the clock. You know, we did a lot of trades and got a lot of prospects back. You know, I remember having to manage mentally the August and September. How are we going to, you know, make sure that we get the stuff to play major league games in front of 40,000 people and come up with nine innings minimum per day and deal with that. And I think, you know, it's just hard to find starters nowadays, whether they're good ones or not good ones, to give you some length. And I think it's just representative of that more than anything else.
So what went into the decision to release Marcus Stroman today then?
Well, you know, he pitched yesterday, so he's down for the next 3 days. You know, we have Duvall, Bednarik, and Bird took the red eye from Denver, and they arrived today. So we've just got, you know, as we're counting, and then we hit Luis Hill coming on to start Sunday being activated. So if you start counting up your pitchers on your current roster, you've got to make room for the new ones being onboarded. So, you know, ultimately, whether it was today or in a few days, you know, we were going to need that spot. So the biggest, you know, thing that went into it with on Stroh's decision for today is we, you know, we're on a conference call earlier today was that since he's unavailable to us over the next 3 days and we're going to need that spot here, you know, between, and then also we have Liger coming back next week in theory, maybe that, you know, it makes more sense to keep, you know, we're trying to win right now, obviously. Sure. And so giving Aaron Boone as many fresh available arms, today and then tomorrow and the next day where Stroh's not available to us. And if that spot was basically in jeopardy once we onboard all the new, you know, people coming back from the IL or the new traded acquisition players, then, you know, there's no reason to, you know, to wait.
I made an assumption, I think a lot of people did, and you have a chance to clarify and say it's totally not true, is that Marcus probably didn't want to go to the bullpen since of what we heard back in February. Was there ever a conversation about Marcus going to the bullpen?
No, I mean, because again, as I said, you know, as we stand today with everybody being onboarded and the anticipation of Hill obviously coming off the IL to take the Sunday start and with Leiter coming back early next week, if you start playing the body count game, we run out of bodies. And so then you start, that's basically it. And so you start saying, you know, who's going to survive this? And we have, I think based on the deadline, we have more quality, you know, in numbers than we had before. And you have to make tough decisions based on that.
Did you try to trade him
again? And he's not available for the next 3 days.
Gotcha. Did you try to trade him yesterday, especially knowing this scenario and the need for starting pitchers that we assume a lot of teams have? Was that on the table?
I wouldn't say. I just know that we just have to make tough decisions and ultimately the effort from the deadline was to try to get, you know, better individuals, you know, in terms of onboarding than we currently have. And that's led us to make some tough decisions on optioning some people. So obviously we optioned Hamilton last night post game and today we're having to, release Stroh and you know, obviously we got more tough decisions as, this stuff plays out.
Yeah, you know, Brian, I'm wondering and I'm thinking, we're thinking long term. We're thinking what's happening for towards the end of the season and into the postseason. This is as it pertains to the starting pitching, but it sounds like you're making these moves for Aaron Boone for right now. And I wonder, with Luis Hill coming back and Cam Schlittler being young and only getting his fourth or so start this season, where is your mindset on what's going to happen come postseason? Because that's naturally at the trade deadline where the fan or sports talk radio's mind goes to.
I'm not sure of the question. So ultimately, you know, I just want to give Booney and our staff and, you know, as many better options than we had before July 31st, whether that's rotation and the rotation in theory on paper gets better with Hill coming back. Warren's done a nice job. Schlittler's done a nice job, even though it's a short window that he's operating in. And then, and ultimately with these reliever choices, just in terms of matchup, in terms of, Timmy Hill can't pitch every day, and if it's tight ball games, and obviously as it was before, Weaver and Williams can't be available every day as we have those leverage innings from the 7th, 8th, and 9th as we try to navigate it, especially when we've been trying to do so without Cruz and Ryder, who were doing such a healthy, great job for us, prior to them going down. And so it's been a struggle here for us on a bullpen side for the last 5-6 weeks, it feels like, because of the injuries. And but I just think we're in a better position now. So I'm thinking we have a sprint to try to take a shot at, getting back, competing for the American League East title that right now Toronto is leading. So we will, obviously goal one is to try to win the division. And then goal two is that if we can get ourselves in the postseason, however way it is, that, have as many, opportunities, that we can choose from, that gives us the best chance to win, whether it's in a short series or an extended series, and take our shot.
Yeah, I guess the question is, are you okay with the starting rotation as it sits right now?
Yeah, it's between the rotation and the bullpen. You always want to make it better. I know we've made it better. I love Max Fried and Rodon and what they've done, and I'm excited what, Luis Hill, in his potential and what he did last year for us, and then what Will Warren and Schlittler has done. I feel good about our rotation in combination with our bullpen and with the offense we provide, and a much improved defense. So yeah, again, looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. It's better on paper. That's the goal, but we'll see.
We're talking to Brian Cashman, GM of the New York Yankees. Were you close on any of the starting pitchers that either did get moved? Not many were, or the ones that didn't get moved. Were you close on any of those?
I didn't feel like I was close on any of that. So, we definitely had a lot of conversations, but I didn't feel like, we were a phone call away, or there was, a lot of back and forth, and, this could be done if I do that. It was, I didn't feel like that market was a very clearly, by the way, the trade deadline played out. I think the industry, has demonstrated it was a tough market for starting pitchers, and what was or wasn't really available. And the premiums you were going to have to pay for it. I didn't feel like we got close to anything.
Did you listen at all on your free agents, like Goldie and Devin Williams and guys like that?
I would say we just went after it with a very open mind about anything and everything that could potentially, improve our team, potentially. So we were not closed-minded to any opportunities that people wanted to present and stuff, and that's whether it's, some of the offer major league club offer out of our system, or us importing stuff. And, we just tried to stay nimble, but that's true every winter cycle, every summer cycle. That's not different. I think ultimately you have to be that way. You have to be nimble and you have to be flexible and you have to be open-minded. So you make sure you're not missing out on any options, because you only have a chance to do this once, and then it's pencils down and you got to take your shot with what you got.
I know years ago this was probably the case. I'm curious, in 2025, if you still deal with this, do you get a sense that there's a Yankee tax where teams won't trade you players unless you give them a premium? Do you believe that still exists?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think of it that way. I feel like it's more like draft you're in the draft room, you know, and everybody's draft board is lined up differently. They see the available amateur talent in the domestic draft and ranked certain ways in your room versus they have it different ways in other rooms. And same here, you know, you see players that come off the board, you know, what they're asking of you, and then they make a deal somewhere else and you don't get the player you're trying to get from them and they do a deal elsewhere. Your perception that in some cases was, wow, I know why they were asking for so much from us, you know, and we couldn't reach it. And they really got, you know, they got that level or more, and wow, good for them. Well, now I understand it. And then there's other experiences where somebody is asking what they want from you and you're refusing to do it, or I'm refusing to do that. And then they make a trade elsewhere. It makes no sense. It's like, whoa, that doesn't match.
Right.
But then you take the step back, and I use that draft, you know, thoughts, where it's like, hey, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. They might see their prospect, different, you know, than we see the prospect that they're onboarding elsewhere different. And so it feels like, wow, they dialed up against us and took less there. It doesn't make sense, but it only has to make sense in their world. And everybody has different scouting and analytic rooms and different perceptions and different pressure points and different solutions and how to solution it. So anyway, I don't know if it's a Yankee tax. I just think everybody is a little different.
You know, Brian, Evan brought up the controllability of the relievers that you brought in. And knowing how, you know, the contracts are playing out for the guys that were already here, Luke Weaver is a free agent, Devin Williams will be a free agent. How much of the controllability factor went into deciding these guys that you went after?
Well, I mean, it's a benefit. You know, I can't tell you how much weight it went into going in or not to complete it, but I do know that, you know, you certainly daydream into 26 and know that we have free agents coming off. And if we have, you know, some of these guys in control going into next year, give you more flexibility and security, knowing that you have, you know, certain areas, you know, covered, you know, then we, you know, more so than you had, you know, the day before. So that it's a benefit, and, you know, it plays a part in maybe willingness to complete, willingness to push in a little bit more, or lean in a little bit more with what you gave up. Because you control it versus, you know, and I definitely have conversations with other clubs where they're asking for whatever. And I'm like, I'm not doing that for a rental. There's no way I'm doing that for a rental. I'm not going to shoot that bullet for somebody I'm only going to have for 2 months. And if it's a reliever, you know, how many innings are you getting in those 2 months? You know, but if it's a control piece, it gives you a little bit more length, then you have a little bit more, maybe a comfort level of shooting some bullets to try to pull that down, you know. So I guess that's just a simple mindset on it. But again, the main intent and interest was, well, where is this team deficient? What areas try to attack the best you can and try to fill as much as you can in this marketplace on the time frame they got, and then live with it, whatever it is.
We are 2.5 years into the young man's career. Are you disappointed in where Anthony Volpe is right now as a major leaguer?
He struggled this year. I mean, more so than I would have expected. You know, he's a tough kid. He's talented. He's got ceiling. But yeah. I mean, I acknowledge he's been struggling. Obviously, especially the defensive stuff has been more of a surprise than anything else. But he's tough. He, you know, I've talked to him. I know he's battling through it. You know, he needs to be part of our, you know, solution. You know, if we want to get to where we want to go, not just him, there's a lot of different guys, you know, that have the hand on the wheel, a little bit of the shared wheel. And I'll throw myself in the middle of that as well, of how this last 6 weeks have gone. You know, a lot of guys have struggled, whether it's, you know, they've dipped offensively, dipped pitching wise, or obviously dipped on the defense or dipped on the offense. And so it's been a struggle. So, but it's the ebbs and flows. Nothing's linear. No team typically is, no individual, you know, profile, unless you're Aaron Judge, which is, you know, superhuman. Everybody else, you know, is in that human category, and they obviously have ebbs and flows. But again, I still remember the Reggie Jackson, you know, quote that I have on my desk in the office, which, you know, about the, you know, if you still have the bat in your hand, you can change the storyline. So obviously he's got the opportunity to, you know, put all that behind him by obviously, you know, stepping up to play and bringing great performance as we move forward. So we'll see what happens.
He's
certainly capable.
Sure. Not necessarily now here in August, but had you given thought to sending him down to clear his head? Was that something you guys ever discussed?
No, because, what's the alternative?
No, that was always my argument on the air, Brian. That's why I wouldn't do it. I was just curious if you thought about it.
But now there is a little bit of an alternative, right?
No. If you thought about it, that means the only reason to think about it is if there was something there as an alternative. But it's never come into it. There has not been any opportunity for us to even consider that. And the expectation that he's going to be better than that, that he's going to, that this is just, people go into slumps, whether it's offensive or defense, and that this is just a storm and the storm will pass. But past that, the argument about, if anybody's making is like, oh, you should send him down, give him a timeout. And okay, well, then who's playing shortstop?
No, I agree with that aspect because I didn't think like you were in great position to go play somebody else. It was more the idea of could that help him? And right. I don't know. I mean, it helps some guys. We saw it across town where a guy gets sent down and it helps him. It doesn't help everybody. I have no idea. I'm just curious if you thought it would. And right now it's weird because he's hitting. Like, there's no denying. He had a big home run the other day, but his defense continues to be a struggle. So what do you do about it? What should Aaron do about it? Is it just play him every day and he'll figure it out? Or is there alternatives to try to fix what has kind of derailed him a little bit this season?
No, I mean, I remember when Tino was struggling back in the day, Joe Torre would move him up in the lineup. You know, instead of burying him and sitting him and whatever, he would actually move him from wherever it was in the lineup to the lineup. And, the point being in that particular individual case, and it was basically, I believe in you. So they lean in. The one thing I think that New York is different, this market and other markets is different. It is in the smaller markets, I think, the heavy hand of trying to whip a horse into shape or whatever, or get on them hard or whatever. That's happening here already between our fans, between the social media, between the talk shows, whatever. Our athletes in the tri-state area of New York, whether football, basketball, baseball, hockey, they know that they're struggling. They're living it. And I think in our market more a little bit, you need to help try to guide the athlete and support them where warranted to help them through the storm rather than, be the final WWE and here I'm going to come in with the big body slam to finish you off. So ultimately I think, there is maybe a lack of understanding or appreciation of how difficult to navigate it is. So if you're in Aaron Boone, and I know people like, why is he always supporting our guys? Well, you know what? He's doing that because he already knows the guys are taking the beatings in all the other environments. So he's there to try to protect them or not like add to it because it's a stressful environment. And the more horrific stuff that comes or stress, you might get worse. And so that's just a general commentary that this market can make it that much more difficult for players. So we are here to try to help them pass through it quicker by being there in a support factor. And if we have to make tough decisions to make changes, we do it.
Yeah.
And it's always a feel thing. It's always at what time does that happen? And it's different for each individual circumstances. And then what are the alternatives?
Right. I think, but I hear what you're saying. And I think you're absolutely right about that. It's almost a rite of passage to get booed in New York because it gives you an opportunity to go find those cheers again. And it's great to be supportive, but it feels like as of late, there have been a lot of mental errors. And it's everybody. It's not just Anthony Volpe. We saw it with Austin Wells, forgetting there was one out a couple days ago. You see it with some of these Jazz couldn't flip the ball over to first base to Goldie the other day. It feels over and over and over. And what is the approach to correct those things, which should be simple and routine, but they keep popping their head on the big stage? So how do you manage that, or how do you talk to it from an organizational standpoint? And what should Aaron Boone be doing?
Well, I think Aaron Boone and our coaches got their you know, the individual coaches that are responsible for each category, you know, whether it's base running, whether it's catching, whether it's infield, outfield defense, pitching, and then the manager overseeing it all, you know, their job is to make sure those, their checklists of are taking place. So like Wells the other night, and he gets picked off, clearly not picked off, but yeah, basically picked off the base pass because he clearly doesn't know what the outs are. First base coach, part of his profile, did you say the number of outs, you know, and is that happening, and making sure they're doing their jobs. And I do think that, you know, just like you saw, you know, a great run, the Toronto Blue Jays franchise just, they went through, and hopefully it's slowing down on them where they were winning basically every day. I don't know how many games they won, but it was just nonstop. You wind up building positivity and you start to excel in all aspects. You're getting the timely hits. You're making the every defensive play. You're taking all the extra bases and you're making all the important pitches. When you need to, with two outs and runners on, and you're getting the important pitches, and then a couple, you know, umpire calls go your way, and it's like there's that long stretch where everything's coming your way. It can go the other way too. You can go get into a negative funk. That starts with an individual play, and then it starts building, and next you know, your whole team is kind of, you know, inflicted with it, and you get that negative ball going the other side of the mountain. And, this is a really talented team with really talented, you know, good, smart baseball players, but they're not immune to making mistakes, screwing up, and then, you know, as an entire unit. So, yes, if you've watched us here in the last 6 weeks, it's left you scratching your head at time wondering what the heck is going on, that some of this stuff doesn't happen even in the little league. But at the same time, it does happen. And if you have a chance to zero out and see another ball, you know, see other organizations and clubs, it does happen there too. But we have to tighten it up. We have to be better than that. No doubt about it. We have a team that's capable of a lot, but the only way we can, you know, ring that bell with a team that's as talented as we are is that, hey, we're going up against talented teams too. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to give away outs.
No
we
doubt.
Can't afford to run into outs. We can't afford to, you know, provide extra outs to the other team's offense. It's just not going to work that way. So, you know, yeah, we got to clean it up. No doubt about it. Booney knows that. Our staff knows that. Our players know that. You know, and me just saying it's not going to make it happen, you know, but everybody just on each, you know, baseball is just a game of everybody individually doing their job. And collectively, it all adds up. If everybody just does their job and does it, you know, clean and efficiently, it all adds up. We have a shot, high probability to win each day. But we've given some games away because we haven't played, you know, clean, crisp baseball as much as we're capable of. And I don't have a specific answer why. It is frustrating to our fans, to our organization. But, you know, let's hope we can change that narrative as we move forward here and create a whole new narrative, sure, because I know we're capable of that.
You have a good problem. You got a guy in the minor leagues who I'm sure you heard the name of 100 times when people were asking for him, like the Marlins, I'm sure, were asking for him, and Spencer Jones was tearing it up. He had the back spasms. He came back. He's still hitting. When do you call him up? When do you say, I know we got a lot of good guys in the majors, but this guy's so tearing up AAA, I got to find a way to give him an opportunity in the major leagues.
I don't know. It's not something that's on my radar right now. He's doing everything he needs to do. And, you know, and I got guys doing, you know, a great job in the big leagues. Obviously, you know, I don't know. You know, it's, you know, he's certainly pushed himself into knocking on the door. And, you know, obviously if there's a clear lane to get him opportunities, then that's where it'll happen. And if not, it's nice to know he's there and it's nice to know he can finish off and that, you know, sooner than later, you know, that next step and that next challenge is around the corner.
Now, he got a lot of comparisons, obviously, because of his size to Aaron Judge. Let's talk about the big man. We call him King Aaron Judge here because we voted him King of New York. But Aaron Judge, are you concerned about this injury that cropped up in his forearm? And he has been out, obviously, for the last couple of days. Seems like he's going to come back and be fine. But is there any concern, long-term concern here?
I don't think so. If we resolve it properly, I think we're in a good spot. Everything Aaron Boone has said publicly is the same right now as what I would say, which is, you know, You know, I think we were waiting for the diagnostic testing to come back. We didn't know what we were dealing with. You know, the whole array of choices were there, and it was a flexor tendon strain. So obviously a PRP injection and give him an IL stint, which he didn't want to go on. He doesn't feel it swinging, and he felt like in DH right now, but the more proper and prudent way to go about it, because even though he doesn't feel it swinging, by gripping the bat, you activate the flexor muscle, and that's going to slow down the healing process. So let's play it safe so we don't play this into something worse. So that's how we handle it. We put him on the IL, and sometimes shortly thereafter, whether it's immediately or a few days after, I don't know yet. Then we can activate him as a DH. But when we deploy him defensively, it'll be longer than the 10-day period or so. So that's whether that's maybe that's 3 to 4 weeks out from date of injury. You know, we'll see. I got so busy on the deadline. If he had any setbacks or any concerns currently in the shorter period of time he's been on the IL, I would have gotten some feedback on that. But otherwise, I hadn't really drilled into anything further on his status. I know he sat in on Mark Leiter's rehab, inning the other day, which was great, but getting some live views and so we'll go from there. But we're looking forward to getting him back, but he'll be a DH. So again, it's important to have him in the lineup, and it means Booney will have some different decisions to make on a daily basis than we would have had if he was fully deployable at the time in the short term.
Most Yankee fans are very happy with you. They're very happy with what you did at the trade deadline. But Yankee fans last week have signs at Yankee Stadium that say, "Fire Brian Cashman." Would you like to send a message to that guy? Basically, hey, screw you. Look at me now. Look what I did. You're welcome. Any message to the critics after you had what is widely considered a very good trade deadline?
I thought everybody liked me. I'm unaware. I don't follow any of that stuff. I don't read the stuff. So I know our fans just want one thing, which is the winning aspect. And if you're not winning, it's the other side of it, that's all we can do is try to do everything we can to win. And then, the rest of it plays out that way. So we got to the World Series last year and we got crushed. How we played in that World Series. So I just know the only thing that matters is winning. And so we got to find a way. And that's what we're continuing to try to do.
That's it. Well, Brian, we appreciate you coming on, giving us a few minutes. Get some rest. You get some rest now. All right, man?
Thank you, Brian.
Right, thanks.
There he is, the GM of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman, working very hard over the last week and a half, adding how many guys? A lot of guys.
Right.
And now it's on the players. And now it's on the manager. And now it's on the team.
And he even said that. You got to play better.
Yes.
Like the mistakes, the errors, all the things that we were talking about prior to the trade deadline, they're obviously very aware of. Again.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The problem is I don't know if there is a real answer, right? Why are guys who are normally reliable making boneheaded mistakes?
Yeah, the normally reliable thing is very weird. I mean, even last year, and last year's kind of funny. Game 5 of the World Series is going to be a game that's talked about forever. And I'll tell you something tiny that I don't even bring up often, but it sticks in my head every once in a while. When we talk about Game 5 of the World Series, what do we think about?
Aaron Judge.
We think about dropping the fly ball?
Yeah, of course.
Think about the fifth inning, right? They had a lead in the eighth inning. Like, we forget this.
Right. Tommy Canley.
The Yankees had a lead in the eighth inning and blew that lead. We never talk about that. We never mention it. It's like it didn't happen.
That's a great point. It's a great point.
And that's not to exonerate the fifth inning. Right. It's just that that game is known for an inning in which they actually regain the lead later.
They still could have and probably should have won the game.
Despite that.
Right.
But what's crazy about that fifth inning is those miscues were made by guys that are really good. Aaron Judge doesn't make errors. Gerrit Cole doesn't have his head up his rear end. You know, those things are weird. So I think sometimes it's the individual player. Right now, Anthony Volpe's going through it. You heard Brian admit it. Like, you just got to figure it out.
Yeah.
But when smart players or good players make mistakes, yeah, it's tough to figure out why. Like, why did Aaron Judge drop a fly ball in the World Series last year? How the hell do you answer?
I found it interesting, though, the explanation of why Aaron Boone is the way he is when talking about these guys that are making boneheaded mistakes or heads up their asses, etc. They're getting it from the fans. They're getting it from the media. Right. They're getting it from us. So Aaron, somebody's got to be supportive.
Yeah.
You can't keep, at that point, it'd be tripling or quadrupling down on the negativity around him. Positive reinforcement, it's all like this egalitarian, whatever, you feel good about yourself thing. But I think it's interesting that when we scream accountability, they scream, we're going to hug you. We're going to make you feel better about yourself so you come out of it.
Right.
I don't know if that works.
Yeah, I don't know, and it's interesting to think that New York is such a different animal where when Volpe makes an error, he gets booed around here.
Yeah.
If he was doing
this...
But then
he hits a home run, and he's fine.
Right. If he was doing this in any other city, he's probably not even hearing boos in Pittsburgh if he makes an error.
If he has 16 errors, he's probably hearing boos.
Even in Pittsburgh?
Even in Pittsburgh.
Maybe. We'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls, react to some of the things Brian Cashman had to say at 888-808-1019. The only negative I take out of Cash is Spencer Jones. I mean, he's not on his radar. Like, as well as he's playing in the minor leagues, they don't have room for him. And barring more injuries, we're not going to see Spencer Jones in 2025. And it's tough because they are deep in the outfield. I mean, they are deep at DH. They are deep at first base. Like, they don't have a place for him right now. There isn't a guy struggling like we had with Verdugo. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a very different discussion last year because Verdugo stunk. But you look at the outfield and you look at your options... And it's true, there's no obvious spot for him, but I think what's challenging to me is when someone is hitting at such a ridiculous pace in the minor leagues, at what point do you say, I have to find a way because this is insane?
It is insane, but it's so tough because you tell minor leaguers, make them notice you, earn your way into the major leagues by making them not be able to look away. But at the same time, he's not replacing Aaron Jones. He's not replacing Cody Bellinger, who hits safely, it seems like, every single night and has been clutch for you. You're not replacing Jason Dominguez, who is in a very important developmental stage of his Major League Baseball career. And maybe he could have been the odd man out, but Trent Grisham is having a career year.
Yeah.
And so bringing Spencer Jones up, while you want it to happen, it just kind of doesn't make sense. And so I can understand why Brian Cashman is just not paying attention to him because there's no room for him. There's no avenue for him right now.
The guy that could be demoted, even though he seems to have this clutch moment in him every once in a while, is Trent Grisham, only because he's cooled off.
No, I think the play would be more creative here to me. I think Cody Bellinger, especially the way Goldschmidt's picking it, could be your first baseman.
Right.
There was not really a need, and I understand why, to trade for an Austin Slater. And I think that...
the need was right-handed bat.
I understand.
That was the need. To me, that's unrelated because I think the idea of Rosario and Slater just to be better against left-hand pitching and have more guys that can hit lefties.
Right. I get that, but so Spencer Jones, we're convinced, isn't going to be able to come up and hit lefties. You know what I mean?
But like, he's a left-hand. The assumption is he's not going to come up here and hit lefties right away. No. Mm-hmm.
All right. My point is,
yes.
Spencer Jones has nothing left to prove at the AAA level. This is a guy we are dying to see. It's a guy you were unwilling to part with, and I hope we see him next year. I love the Yankee moves for depth. It isn't a kicking and screaming moment. When you make a comment like that, it's not something that's on our radar right now. It's not on your radar right now because you did all these other moves around it. It is something that should have been on your radar a week ago the moment Aaron Judge got hurt where we could have gotten a taste.
Well, I think it's challenging because unlike last year where the screaming was universal and it made sense, Dominguez, Dominguez, Dominguez over Verdugo, 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 there just isn't like an obvious spot. I mean, you've got productive players at those positions, so... We'll see if Spencer can keep this up. He missed a few days with back spasms. He came back, and he was like 6 for his next 12. So he's continued to hit at the AAA level. Toll-free number, 888-808-1019. Let's get to some of your phone calls, including Steven Bayside, who's waited a while. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, guys?
Good. How are we doing?
I am good. Spencer Jones is not on the 40-man roster, and they just had to cut one of their starting rotation members, to make room for all of the new guys. So I think, you know, look, when the rosters expand in September, everyone will get the chance to see Spencer Jones, and we can all just wait another few weeks for that to happen. About the trade deadline, I thought that the Yankees had a good, you could say very good trade deadline. I thought the Mets did too, but they didn't acquire any big stars. This wasn't, you know, bringing in David Justice. The team that I thought had the best trade deadline actually was Seattle. I mean, they had two big needs and they filled them with two star players on the corners. I mean, Naylor and Suarez. And that was a team that was already very deep top to bottom. I just love what Seattle did. And to me, I'm keeping an eye on them as being one of the teams to beat in the American League.
No, that's a good call. I mean, I think that you're dealing from different, like, weaknesses. So Seattle really wanted to add bats, and they added two of them. You know, so I think Seattle did a great job. The Mariners are one of those franchises where I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, when they're setting up, when they're strapping up for a World Series, I'll believe it. But they're in the mix. They certainly improved themselves. That division is still pretty winnable. They're only 4.5 games behind Houston. I thought the Astros also made, you know, big splash. Obviously, bringing back Carlos Correa. Look, the bottom line is every good team, for the most part, got better. Like every one of them.
Every good team in big markets, it will spend money.
Well, I mean, the Toronto Blue Jays, I guess that's a big market. They got better. I mean, is Seattle such a big market?
No, not really.
Okay, they got better.
But they did.
I mean,
it's going to cost them.
I would actually say, no, every team that's in a playoff race got better. The Cincinnati Reds got better. They're 4 games above .500. I don't think Cincy's a big market.
Maybe
I think
the Cubs?
The Cubs got better. I don't think they got better enough.
Right.
But they definitely improved themselves. So I think that we saw a lot of different teams. You know who actually didn't? You know what team I'd call out and say, where were you?
Tigers.
The Dodgers.
Dodgers, right. What did they do? I didn't even know.
They dumped Dustin May on Boston. That's what they did. I think the Dodgers are selling to their fans.
Acquired Alex Call.
Oh, that's right. The outfielder who walks all the time from the
Nationals. Brock Stewart.
Come on.
Exactly. The three-team trade with Tampa and Cincinnati. I didn't even see this thing.
Yeah, they became the third team involved in that trade.
You know who was in that?
Who's that?
Ben Rortfoot.
That Ben Rortfoot, yeah, right. The former Yankee. He went to the Dodgers, right?
Yes.
So the Dodgers did very little, and I think the Dodgers are selling their fans the same thing that annoys us. We have all these injuries and guys coming back. That's like a trade.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, look, they're acquiring Blake Snell at the trade deadline. So
I think too bad he hasn't pitched in 4 months.
Which is why it's like a trade acquisition.
He hasn't pitched in 4 months.
I think the Phillies certainly got better. They absolutely got better, especially with the Duran trade. Bader to a degree in center field. The Padres were really aggressive. And what made the Padres scary, A, they always kill the Mets, number one. So from a Met fan perspective, I shiver at the San Diego Padres. Like, I know we made this mistake last year. Give me a series against the Dodgers before I see a series against the Padres.
When the Padres were good against the Dodgers, too.
I know. They almost beat them.
Right.
But the Padres went out and got really, really aggressive. They added Mason Miller. They added J.P. Sears. They did all sorts of stuff. And there was a thought that they were going to sell, too. They never did that. Mm-mm. It's not like they dumped a bunch of guys. They didn't dump Suarez. They didn't dump Dylan Cease. So San Diego did a great job. Kyle's in Smithtown. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Evan, how are you? Hey, Tiki.
What's up?
I don't know if Jake Bird didn't get the memo that the Yankees changed their facial hair policy. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the new picture of him with his beard completely shaved off. But he is Evan's doppelganger.
Really? I look like Yankee reliever Jake Bird? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
All right, I am looking at a picture right now of Jake Bird with a real fluffy beard that he does have to manicure. If you imagine no beard, does that face look like me, Tiki?
Kind of. The eyes are similar.
I'll hold it up. I don't know if SNY can get a good shot of it, but this is a picture of Jake Bird that I'm holding on my iPad. Of course, one of the relievers that the Yankees acquired, and he's got a big bushy beard, no doubt about it. And if you take the beard away...
I mean, kind of.
I kind of see it.
No, here's the giveaway, though. We know what Evan looked like with a beard.
That's true.
That's true.
It doesn't look like you looked with a beard.
Well, because my beard was very red, if you recall.
And he's not smiling in his bearded picture.
That's true.
Evan was smiling a lot in his bearded days.
I was very happy in my bearded days. I don't know why.
Is there a picture? I haven't seen the picture of him.
Jake Bird without a beard?
Yeah, I'm looking for it now.
Well, he is on the Yankees now. He has been activated for tonight's game down in Miami. I have not seen a beardless picture of Jake Bird, but he doesn't have to be beardless.
You're right. Just has to be more groomed.
That's it. He's just got to groom this thing up.
All three Yankee relievers are all beard guys.
That's true, yeah.
Remember there was that report when they didn't get Luis Castillo a couple of years ago? Yes. You want to cut his hair right. And then, I wonder if that was why the Yankees had a great deadline. No beard problems.
But you know what's funny about that? Like, if you're Brian Cashman, you're not calling up and saying, hey, just want to make sure about this beard thing. Like, you just trade for the guy. And the guy, 99% of the time, is just going to do it. I think it was more the whole free agent thing. But either way, it's good that they got rid of the policy. Are we now all universally good with this?
Yeah, I'm
because at the time, it was controversial.
What, the fact that they got rid of the no beard policy?
Yeah, Sean's dad was going to boycott the Yankees.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mean,
it had zero effect on performance. Just
with Devin Williams almost blew opening day, that was a big talk.
Is your dad now good with the new beard policy?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't brought it up to me recently, so that tells me the over 60 Yankee crowd's gotten over it. I think we just got used to it by August.
They probably just completely forgot about it.
Yeah, we're in August now. You've watched a million Yankee games. It looks normal.
Until they don't win the World Series and Big Mac gets a call on Saturday morning from an old-timer saying they got rid of the beard policy, they still don't have fundamentals, they lost the World Series, they should just bring it back. There's a pin in it right now.
It is true. If the Yankees lose on blown games out of the bullpen, if all of these guys have beards, that is when it will come out. He's right about that.
It takes a bad moment for it to come out. You're right. By the way, one other thing that Brian Cashman said that I don't believe, and he'd never admit it. Why would he admit it? I think he does secretly go on social media, listen to the radio station, and he hear all the hate. And I think he probably cracks up about it. Because here's a guy who's been employed for over 25 years.
Right.
He knows he isn't going anywhere.
And none of it matters.
It does not matter.
He's
laughing at all of you. Yeah, I think he probably goes on Reddit just for a good laugh. Like, you think I'm an idiot? I make more money than all of you. You're not firing me.
And even if they did, I'd be fine.
Yeah, I'd be all right. I'm going to the Hall of Fame someday. It's funny. I brought this up a couple years ago, but the Nationals recently fired, God bless you, their GM, Mike Rizzo. I don't know if you guys remember this. It wasn't a huge baseball story around here, but they fired Mike Rizzo.
Yep.
Okay. Happens. Nationals have been bad for a while. They had, earlier this season, Mike Rizzo bobblehead day. And when that happened, I thought to myself, how have we not had Brian Cashman bobblehead day? Been the general manager for 27 years.
So did they fire him after or before?
No, after.
Okay.
Because this bobblehead was either earlier this season or last year. I forget the exact timing. Rizzo got fired, I think, while I was on vacation.
So maybe Cash doesn't want it because it could be a jinx.
Oh, you think it leads to a firing?
I mean, it's okay to bobblehead the players, but when you bobblehead a GM, how many have there been?
No, you're right. Look, he's one of the great general managers of all time.
I'm just saying, how many bobbleheads of GMs have there been?
I don't think many.
Right, so you get a bobblehead, you get fired.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at it that way. I think the Nationals were just looking for free things to give out. They don't have that long of a history. They're not including the Expos. So they're like, hey, I got an idea. Let's bobblehead our GM.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just weird. Well, how many people knew what the GM looked like?
That I don't know. Would you go early for a Cashman bobblehead, Sean?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's been there forever, 20 years.
So what? That means I got to go early for a bobblehead?
I mean, it's a legacy thing.
I'll tell you this about Cashman bobblehead.
Give me the Costanza one first.
I would put it right next to President Bush on our little stand over here. Okay. I'd have Bush and Cash right next to each other.
For guys that were once beloved and then maybe not after a while.
I thought you loved Brian Cashman.
I do. I love Brian Cashman.
Right now I do, but he went through a rut before
and
yesterday.
And I think Bush is now loved again.
I know, but we've had these ups and downs.
Well, that's most guys go that way, and gals go that way. You loved, you hated, you loved, you hated.
It's all the theory of relativity.
What?
Never mind.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, there is a picture circulating. Bird has showed up in Miami without a beard.
Clean shaven.
And it looks exactly like
him. Not only does it look like Evan, he's wearing a shirt that Evan would wear. You know,
are you serious?
Yeah, go to Joe's McFly's Twitter. He quote tweeted the picture.
You know, buy 10 shirts at Old Navy for one price.
With an interesting thought. This was Joe's McFly's thought. Maybe the Yankees beard policy is done, but part of it is you shave when you get here and grow a new Yankee beard.
Now, does Jake have freckles, or is that more of like a shadow with his beard?
All right, I'm analyzing Jake Beard right now. I got to admit, I mean, this is weird. He looks like me, and he looks like me for a few reasons. Number one, I'll say it so you guys don't have to, the nose.
Yes.
We both have big kind of, we got noses, all right? And you know what they say about big noses?
Yeah.
You smell more. So we do have the same nose from the side picture. He's got the sideburns, which is my act. He's got kind of reddish hair.
Right.
I mean, he looks just like me. And as far as your question, he's clean shaven, so he does what I do with the stubble.
Yeah, you're right. It's stubble,
so
not freckles.
It's stubble and not freckles, but my God. It's like I'm looking at myself.
He's going to stink. I'm out on him now.
Because he looks
because
like
he
me.
Looks like
I'm not going to be able to watch Evan Roberts in a Yankee hat try to get big outs.
You know what I have to do now? When the Yankees come home, I got to go early to a game. Mm. I got to go in the locker room.
Right.
And I've got to like do the mirror joke with Jake Bird. Like go up to him.
How
not
big
even
is he?
Saying a word.
Is he
just
big?
Go like this.
Is he big?
He's a pitcher, so I'm assuming he's like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely bigger than me.
Right, right.
But I would, like, put my hand up and see if he does it, like the mirror trick.
Right, like you're miming.
Yeah, like we make believe we're twins because we look like each other. I'll hold up the picture again. SNY did a very good job of going in onto my tablet if you're watching us on TV. So here's the picture of Jake Bird. I'll do, like, I'm moving my head.
I mean, it really does. It's like candy.
You can kind of see it, right?
Kind of see it. You're like identical twins.
That caller was spot on. I look like Jake Bird.
And you used to take what in the sinks here?
Bird baths.
Oh, boy. It all ties together.
It does. It is 5 o'clock, so why don't we do this on time? It's time. Oh, you guys not ready for a Cinco at 5 o'clock? I'm embarrassed.
We are, but you know what, Evan? Let's do a legal ID.
Oh, yes.
Give me a legal ID first.
I will give you that.
Business.
Do want to remind people you are listening WFAN, WFN-FM, WFN-FM, HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. I can also tell you that you can hear Evan and Tiki on not only the Odyssey app, but iHeartRadio or the TuneIn app. Mm. So we got a lot of things covered. But now at 5:02, we didn't do it yesterday. Your Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. All right, it's an updated topic on the Evan and Tiki show after the trade deadline. Now that the Yankee season is no longer over and back on, the five biggest Yankee rivals right now.
Mm. Oh, yes, we talked about that a while ago, and I remember we had big debates. Tiki said it was the Dodgers. Yep. I was implying it was the Mets. Many Yankee fans said it's still the Red Sox. Some Yankee fans said it's the Astros. I mean, we were all over the place.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
It is Tiki's Dodgers. Mm. They are lurking there in a potential right. World Series matchup with unfinished business. They got Alex yesterday, and you know he's going to be a pain in the ass in the World Series. Yankees, Dodgers.
I'm okay with them being five.
Yeah.
Not high on the list because it feels so distant.
And I would agree. I think once I get through the other four, we could all agree there's not really a number five besides the Dodgers.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
It is the Mets. And doesn't the deadline tell the story? The big talking point was who did better, the Mets or Yankees out of the bullpen?
Well, they ended up doing similar things. Yeah. And when you really think about it, they both added multiple relief pitchers, three to be exact.
Mm-hmm. Outfielder.
They both added a bat. The Yankees added a few bats, but specifically their need of third base, Ryan McMahon. The Mets' need of center field, mm-hmm. Cedric Mullins. So there were a lot of similar. They both tried to get starters, and they just didn't work out. So, yeah, and we could have a great Lugash debate series on whose bullpen is better. You want to save that until they actually pitch for their teams?
Yes. We should.
That's like 3 weeks from now.
All right. Fair enough.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Welcome back to the rivalry, the Houston Astros, with the addition of Carlos Correa. Check in at number three.
I think they're number one. I think that once you see it, once you feel it, once they're at Yankee Stadium next weekend, coincidentally.
I was going to say, I think we need the game first.
Well, next weekend.
I know.
Yeah.
I think we need that game.
It is ironic. Carlos Correa will be there for Old Timers Day. So that's good.
He's not even that old.
He plays it.
By the way, speaking of like returns and emotions, so if I'm not mistaken, I want to get this right. Carlos Correa's debut as a Houston Astro will be in Boston against Alex Bregman. Okay, kind of cool.
Right.
When the Astros finally return home, where Carlos Correa can get his resounding standing ovation because he's back, it will also be against the Red Sox, which means it's Alex Bregman's return to Houston. So the Astro fan is going to have two incredibly big things to go crazy about.
The trash can's going to go crazy.
The return of Correa and the return of Alex Bregman, and they don't play at home for a while. Because they're beginning a long homestand, a long road trip.
Right.
So they're on the road, including next weekend against the Yankees. So their first home game where Bregman returns as a villain, Correa as a hero, isn't until August 12th, which is crazy.
Do you think they knew they had to get the Correa done deal done before like 5:50? They couldn't have it be called a buzzer beater? All right, here we go.
Number two.
It's the Blue Jays. the hatred now is there. And the way they've beaten the Yankees, Yankee fans, and I think the Yankees look at the Blue Jays and go, we hate you.
Mm.
So I think they've climbed up to number two. Leading
and
this
go
division.
To number one.
Number one.
Number one.
It's the Boston Red Sox, their archest rival. The Yankee downturn started with that series, and don't look now. If the season ended today, Evan, who would the Yankees open up the postseason versus?
If the season ended today, it would be Yankees-Red Sox at Yankee Stadium in a best-of-three series.
That's
what?
Come on. That's not rivalry central? Heating up? Garrett Crochet versus Max Fried, game one?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to argue the Red Sox, but there's no one on that team right now that you truly hate. And the Red Sox are also, here's the other thing the Red Sox have.
Excuse me, you just made a big spiel. Who's coming back to Houston?
Oh, Alex Bregman. You're right. I apologize.
What?
Carlos Correa. What?
No,
what are you asking?
Bregman. Bregman. The Red Sox have Bregman.
You
we hate him.
You hate Bregman. You know why I forgot? I don't think you faced Bregman when you.
No, we didn't.
He wasn't playing.
He was hurt.
No, but he's there.
No, you're right. I stand corrected.
Aramis Chapman is coming out of the bullpen for them.
All right, you got two guys you hate. That's a fair point. You know what the Red Sox don't have that they used to have?
What's that?
They would match the Yankees in terms of aggressiveness. And they would spend, and they would make big trades, and they would be, like, on par with the Yankees. And I don't know if you guys are paying attention to this, but the Red Sox are getting crushed for what happened at the deadline.
Of course. They're not spending money on the Red Sox. The owners are spending money on Liverpool.
Well, and that's frustrating.
Of course it
is.
And
that was not the case 20 years ago or even 15 years ago. Right. So if it's the soccer or whatever the heck it is, or just Craig Breslow doesn't know what he's doing, that's where the Red Sox are still missing something. Mm. Like,
but they're still hanging around.
No, they're around.
I mean, eight games over 500. They're only, what, a game and a half back of the Yankees?
You're right. You're right. By the way, if there's a Yankee-Red Sox best of three division wild card series, and the Red Sox jump the Yankees and it's at Fenway, road trip.
Oh, definitely.
You're up for that?
Oh, you have to.
I've
never been to Fenway Park.
Wow.
Even I've been to Fenway Park.
Yeah, that we got to go for that. I did it with Big Mac for the one gamer when they had the wild card game. Obviously, it didn't work out well for you guys, but it was a wonderful experience. So, Yankees-Red Sox, we're saying it right now. Wild card series in Boston. We're in.
And as you know, you've already done Knicks Celtics. You have the studio. You know where it is. You know where we got
to
go.
That damn right. Are you coming to that, Tommy, or would you, exclude yourself?
No, I'm in on that, and that was not a good night for the Knicks. So, based on Evan's history in Boston, I'm in. Because that's good for the Red Sox.
That is true. All right. Very good list. I don't necessarily fully agree with it, but I respect the hell out of it. I think eventually, when we are sitting here a week from today, which is a Friday, August 8th, I think we'll all be here. We're doing a full show. We're taking a vacation from vacations, so we'll all be here. I get it. Well, you're not here, though, actually.
When?
Next Friday?
Not next Friday.
You are not. Okay.
Thursday, I am.
When we are sitting here on Friday, maybe even Thursday, and the Yankees are about to face the Astros, who now have brought back Carlos Correa, and they're in first place in the American League West, I'm telling you it's on. Mm. Once the F. Altuve chants start at Yankee Stadium, it's on.
Game one is Friday?
Friday night.
Yeah.
It's on. Like, you do me a favor, Sean. Not Friday. Next month, the Monday after, update the list. I bet you're going to have the Astros at, like, number one or number two.
Gotcha.
You're going to forget that, aren't you?
100%.
I'm going to write it down and have it ready.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.